name and expect great things from God as he ministers to us as none other can. Praise God. I'm thankful that we know his power and his goodness. Life and Hope from Lesson 9 in our series here today. Thank God that there is an abundance of both because of what the Lord does for us and his power and his goodness. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Thank God for that. He's the God of hope, and he fills us with hope, and I'm thankful that we know that power and that blessing. God's Spirit gives life and hope for the future. I'm thankful that Hebrews 13 and 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he ministers in each time slot, each phase of our lives. I'm thankful he took care of yesterday, our forgiveness that we obtained from him, though the devil tries to drag it up and tries to condemn you and pull you down for yesterday, the mistakes and the sins and the transgressions. I'm thankful the Lord took care of that. Amen. And the same today, thank the Lord those blessings continue to flow. He continues to minister. He continues to provide. And tomorrow, praise God, forever. I'm glad our God is the same. I'm thankful he's a healer. Brother Mike was supposed to be teaching this lesson, but he began coughing again last night and coughed so hard that he ended up throwing up. So he's not doing very good. He mowed the lawn, thought he was feeling well enough to take care of that, and then apparently it brought on this coughing. Can we pray the prayer of faith right now that God would do a work for Brother Mike? In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, O God, that you would help, that you would minister, that you would bring the healing touch for Brother Mike. Help him now, God, I pray. Strengthen him now, Lord. Let your hand be upon him to lift him up. Oh, Lord Jesus, let your healing touch bring forth, I pray, great power, great might, great strength. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, work, we pray, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Display your healing power, God. Oh, Savior, we glorify you now. Praise your great name. Heal and raise up for your glory, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in him as the healer, the restorer, the deliverer, and the pourer outer. We look at the book of Joel, and for Pentecostals, that immediately the image of or the phrase, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh comes to mind. And we thank the Lord that that is the truth that we're able to recognize and know that God is going to be there to provide. Praise the Lord. Now, the what we call the minor prophets, only minor, not from the standpoint of importance, but from the standpoint of being short. Some of them are only one chapter long, so we refer to them as minor prophets as compared to major that have multiple chapters. Isaiah, for example, 66 chapters. And yet the theme that is common through most, if not all, of the minor prophets is judgment, the judgment that the Lord is going to bring. And often they were contemporaries. They often spoke words of encouragement and hope, but yet warned Israel, you need to repent. You need to come back. You need to be in the place of receiving the promises of God. And unfortunately, for the most part, those were not heeded, at least extensively, like they should have been. There may have been times of repentance, times of revival, but that fire burned short and small. And then they were back into their ideas of how they wanted to live, what they wanted to do. Well, There's a lot of problems in our world today. A lot of situations that are taking place. The virus has come up with variations, and those variations are stronger, actually, than what was initially revealed last year. And that's not to scare you. That's just to let you know it's still here. There's still the problems that we face. Sin being rampant, the ideas of man in what is acceptable, what is allowable as far as social mores and so on, things are rapidly changing. And much that was frowned upon 10 years ago is now accepted and even welcomed. And beyond toleration, it's even championed. So we see these situations coming to pass. And food is an area that we don't find too much of a problem. America is still amazingly blessed. And there's just much that is available. The lesson talked a bit about an app called Feedy. Never even heard of it before reading this. And these lessons were written 2 years ago, so that they're, at least that's the way it used to be. So this is something that's been around for a while. And it's interesting how they characterized it. Feedy capitalized on the first world privilege. You know, we've heard of third world, and developing nations are often called third world, and they're behind perhaps where we are. That's the first time I've heard of first world privilege, but I guess that's where we are. And the situation is, if you eat at a restaurant that cooperates with this Feedy app, and you take a picture of it, and you post it, that restaurant will donate the equivalent of one meal to help end world hunger. Well, that's pretty unique, and a pretty good use of a smartphone, and dealing with one aspect of the world's problems. But I'm thankful the Lord has the answer to every problem. He's able to bring forth his power and his goodness in every situation. Praise God. And thank the Lord if there's a restoration and there's a repentance that precedes that restoration, God can do an incredible work. Amen. And thank God that we're able to put our trust in the Lord and know how he is able to bring forth his power and his goodness. Amen. So, again, when we hear Joel referenced as a prophet, we think of Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. We're talking just earlier before the lesson, Sister Carlene relating some things about the prophecies being fulfilled. Prophecy is one of the most powerful evidences of the accuracy of the Scripture. Amen. The Bible is not a science book. The Bible does not have a lot of mathematical type things that you might be able to see, although I am impressed with the genealogies that you read about in the Scripture and the inventories that are included. The kings that came and destroyed the temple and took the people of Israel captive. And 70 years later, they're restoring all of the instruments and cups and so on to Nehemiah to take it back to Jerusalem. How in the world did they know all of that? They kept an inventory, and they put it forth. And remember, Belshazzar is saying, you know, he's having his big party, 1,000 of his lords. That was an incredible banquet. That was huge. And he was just celebrating everything, and he wanted to toast their gods. And he said, bring the cups, bring the chalices that we took from the Jewish temple. You know, he wanted to desecrate them and show the power of the idol that he was going to toast. And that's when the hand began to write on the wall. And his knees smote one against the other. I love that phrase. His face changed and his knees started knocking. Because God's not going to be mocked. God's going to fulfill his word. There is going to be the fulfillment as he declared. And when Peter said this is that, he was reaching back 800 years to a prophecy from the word of God. And thank the Lord that it is exact in the way that the Lord declared it was going to be. So the greatest work, you know, we look at the great works of God. We prayed for healing for Brother Mike, and we'll pray for others who are not well. But the greatest work that we can know that the Lord can do is that of salvation. Thank the Lord. And Peter quoted it in Acts 2 and 21, that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God that there is that recognition of calling on the name of the Lord. Not simply saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, or simply acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and is now my Savior. There's much more attached to it than that, because it's a great work, a powerful work that the Lord would done. Not a work that we do, not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm thankful that there's a substantiation of the new birth, even in the epistles that are written to the church. Thank God for the power of that new birth and the blessing of the Lord. Now, Joel writing, however, was writing about judgment. And the old men that he referred to in Joel 1:22, the judgment that would come. Thank the Lord there would be better news that would come to the old men. Old men will dream dreams. Young men receive visions. Thank God that there would be that fulfillment again of the prophecy of the word of the Lord. And thank God, 1 and 3, you might just keep Joel open in your Bible or on your app, because there's a lot that we're going to refer to there in those three chapters. 1 and 3 talks about the generations that had to be included, the generations that had to be told. Thank God that it's something that can be passed on to their children and children and children. Thank God that the power of the Lord has his word enduring to all generations. Praise God. And we know the power of that word, and it's incumbent upon us to pass that on. Thank the Lord for the teachers who work diligently and have those children in their classrooms right now and able to teach. But it's certainly the job of every parent, every grandparent, to be able to pass that word on to the children's children and know the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. So there's a similarity in what Joel wrote, what Amos wrote, what Hosea wrote, and so on, all of the minor prophets. Sometimes they're called the Book of 12. There's 12 minor prophets, and there's a consistency that's there of the judgment that would be passed upon the people of Israel. And sometimes even precise language, along with a common theme that is there. But it's not plagiarism. They're not copying each other. It's not like the president. Oops, not plagiarism. Not something that, you know, should be credited to somebody else, and it's not. Well, these guys didn't get together and say, you write this, and I'll write this, and somebody else write this. We'll put it all together, and we'll just scare Israel to death. No, it was the hand of God that would direct them and help them to understand, because the purpose is restore. Thank God he's a God of restoration. Yes. He's a God who pulls his people back, a God who reaches again and again for there to be a restoration. And that was the goal that the Lord intended for Joel and his writings and what he had him present as far as the judgment that was to come, the warning that was there, and then the understanding of how important it is for you to keep looking to the God who can restore. Remember, clear back in Exodus 34, there's been a lot happen already. Moses broke those original tables of stone. In chapter 34, he's instructed to hew out stones and carry them back up the mountain. And the Lord again wrote what was to be on those stones. And in that chapter, Exodus 34 and 6, there's the understanding of how the Lord would bring forth his mercies. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Thank the Lord. That's who we call upon. That's who we believe is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God that those elements or components or qualities, characteristics of God continue today. Oh, I hesitate to think of where we would be, where I would be, were God a total God of judgment. I would be gone. But thank the Lord, he's a God of mercy. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and truth. Thank the Lord. In verse 7, goes on to talk about how his mercy has been for thousands. Praise God. And thousands of generations, the Word of God says, would be included in his promise and his blessing. Thank the Lord that we're able to recognize his power and his touch. Now, in Joel 2, we keep talking about the repentance that needs to be brought forth by the people of God. Actually, I didn't find the word repent in there. But you look at chapter 2 of the book of Joel, and you look at verses 12 and 13, and you find words of action that would be based on repentance. It wasn't just talked about. It wasn't just a concept that they would look at. It was actually things that they did. So, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to the Lord. And then there is the promise of him being graceful and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness. Thank the Lord. That's who was calling them back to his presence. Again, the harshness of judgment was necessary to get their attention. And God help us not to be stubborn and self-willed and rebellious and determined to go our own way. And the hand of God has to become even more strong and prevalent before we recognize our error and turn. Oh, let our hearts be sensitive to the Lord and recognize how there's got to be a repentance that is constant in our lives. Not that we're, you know, beat down and walking in sorrow and we got a storm cloud over our head and that's the way we live for God. No, the Bible says serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And come before his presence with singing. Thank the Lord. Not those country songs that, you know, he lost this, he lost that, and everything's falling apart. No, God's doing a great work. Amen. And we're able to walk with him and know his blessing. Here's a term. Maybe you have it in your book. Intertextuality. Never saw that before. You ever hear of that, Brother Reed? Intertextuality. Again, this is that common theme and even precise language that you find in the minor prophets that would show they are carrying the same message, bringing forth the same thought, the same ideas, the same call to repentance and to come to the presence of the Lord, and the promise of God's forgiveness, God's blessing, God's touch, God's mercy being extended to them, and how they needed to respond to that every time they veered off, every time they went in the wrong direction, every time they moved away from the things of God. You know, Malachi, there's a lot of question and answer. There's a lot of putting forth what you say. You say, you know, we haven't robbed God. We've been offering our sacrifices. We've been worshiping and all of this. And Malachi doesn't let up at all. He just keeps hammering him, keeps saying it. And he gives an example. Okay, you take what you've offered to God and offer that to your governor. Let's see how acceptable it's going to be. Let's see how agreeable that's going to fit. And the recognition that they needed to change their ways. They needed to come back to the place where they knew serving the Lord was correct. Those actions of repentance, not just words, not just thinking about it, not just having good intentions, but the actions that would show they have changed. They've repented. John the Baptist said, bring forth works meet for repentance. And that recognition of how it's got to be real, it's got to be total, it's got to be complete. It's not just a compartmentalized portion of our lives and say, oh, I'll give this much to God, but all the rest of it is mine. And do as I see fit. No, that's not how it works. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. Yeah, that's reasonable. Amen. Based on what the Lord has done for you. And twice the apostle says, you are bought with a price. And the price was high. The price was extreme. The blood of Jesus Christ. What an incredible price he was willing to pay so that you could be purchased. You could be redeemed. You could be saved. Praise God. And all of the components or the aspects of salvation that are so complete and so individualized, so personalized, so that what you've experienced in your life, that the devil tricked you, deceived you, and so on, the Lord takes care of it. Not the same as what I went through, but the Lord knows how to fix what I went through, just like he fixed what you went through. Praise God. And he'll do it for thousands more, millions more. That's what's so incredible and so amazing about our God, that when there are those that call upon the name of the Lord, he's not deaf, he's not without sight, he's not blind, he's able to do the work and able to provide his touch and his blessing in our lives. Praise God. I'm thankful that though there is the warning of judgment, there's the call of judgment, there's the things that we could face if we continue on a way of selfishness, thank God there's a way back. You know, the parable that Jesus told of those two boys, one stayed home, one left. And the one that left, he lived an independent, selfish, self-willed lifestyle. Nobody to tell him what to do. Nobody to guide his decisions. Nobody to reprimand him for his lifestyle. He just lived it up. Spent his inheritance in riotous living. And we're left to imagine all that went on. Pretty easy to do with the way our society is so open with sinful lifestyles, and then His money ran out. A famine came, something he couldn't control, something he wasn't in charge of, and he began to be in want. And boy, those few words describe a total reversal, a total turnaround in terms of his good fortune, his plentiful finances, his good times. And now things aren't going so well. To the point that the only job he could get was tending pigs. Now, for a Hebrew, that was very low. That was very poor. And as he's slopping the pigs, he's kind of digging through to see if there's any morsels that he could eat. It was very sad, very poor. Thankfully, he came to himself, the Bible says. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I don't think that was an accident. I think there was a mom and dad praying every day, every time. Oh, God, touch our son. Oh, God, speak to his heart. Oh, God, open his eyes. Oh, God, help him to come back. He came to himself, and he thought, my dad's servants have more than I have right now. I don't have anything compared to what I had when I was home. And of course, he recognizes the waste. That's what prodigal means, waste. And there are a lot of people who waste their lives, waste their reputation, waste time, waste opportunities. It's sad. But thank the Lord, that's not the end. He came to himself. He said, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell my dad I'm not worthy to be called his son. I just want to be a servant. But let me live in your home again. Praise God. And he makes his way back. And the father is watching, sees him while he's afar off, and runs. Praise God. What an incredible story. And what an incredible truth that the Lord would be excited about. My son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. Let's celebrate. Praise God. And thank the Lord that in that same chapter, Luke 15, the Lord says, when one sinner repents, there's a celebration in heaven. The angels rejoice. Praise God. There's a rejoicing in the church. But oh my, there's rejoicing in heaven as well. Thank God that there can be a restoration. And clothes and the ring, the shoes, the fatted calf, the feast, the celebration, all of that because of restoration. That's the job that our God can do. That's the work that he can bring forth. Amen. And thank God for the power of the Lord. Now, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he uses Joel. Now, see, they didn't have, you know, he's not thumbing through and thinking, oh, let's see, what verse should I use? It didn't have this. They had scrolls, and the scrolls were kept in the synagogue, and they were brought out only on the Sabbath or whenever they were teaching and bringing the young people in to the word of the Lord. It's amazing how that they had recall. They had the ability to, there wasn't a visual reminder, wasn't an audio reminder except the Spirit of God speaking to them. Something that they had heard, something that they had read, something that they had studied just comes all of a sudden. Boom. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord quickens us like that. I'm thankful the Lord, the Word of God, is able to come and minister to us in that manner. And not only minister to us, but when you're teaching Bible study, when you're teaching someone the Word of God, and you need to have a verse that is connected there. You know, for example, let's say you're teaching the page that's got the days of creation. And the Lord rested on the seventh day. Not because he's fatigued, not because he's exhausted, not because he's worked so hard. No, he's giving us a principle. So you're going to take off on that principle of rest, because the person you're teaching is tired. They're worn out. They've struggled. They've worked. They don't see an end. There's no hope. They're having difficulty. So you're going to emphasize rest. So you're thinking rest. Oh, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Hebrews 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us fear lest there be those that not enter it. What? Yeah, and so you explain a little bit more what he's talking about in the rest. Aren't you glad for the rest of the Holy Ghost? And we know how powerful it is. Not simply a day, thank God for a day, but not simply a day, it's every day we enter into the rest that the Lord has for us and the blessings of God that are there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, Peter and the others, Paul and those who write. By the way, have you ever wondered why when they quote from an Old Testament scripture and you flip back to Isaiah or whatever, and it's a little bit different? Keep in mind the scriptures that they may have had more readily available were written in Greek. Alexander the Great made this huge library in Alexandria, named after him. And he commissioned the Septuagint to be written. It was written in Greek. And that probably was what was more available than the Hebrew scriptures. And it had equal importance. And it changed a little bit. And that's what they're quoting. Not from, you know, the Hebrew translation. And the meaning is still the same. It just the wording is a little bit different. So that is what we rely upon today. Thank God for the scripture that is so strong and able to be able to minister to us with the meaning that becomes very clear. There's this quote that Joel makes, but there's lots of reference to Joel. There's lots of inference that he makes as far as, and expanding on what is there. For example, he talks about the calling on the name of the Lord. And we know that the connection that is made there, the name of the Lord, is what he answered when they asked, what shall we do? Because Peter quoted from Psalms also. I like the way he uses scripture throughout his message. It's not just one little verse and then here we go. He continually brings forth this aspect of scripture. And likewise throughout the book of Acts and into the apostles, or the epistles rather. Acts 15 and 18. There's a reference to Amos. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And so that there's an Old Testament reference. And then that reminded me of Isaiah 46 and 10, that he calls the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. That's what we're able to rely upon. That's what we're able to call upon. And thank God the Lord is there to minister and provide through his word again and again. I'm glad that Joel 3:16 says he is the hope of his people. He is the hope and the strength of his people. I don't have to go to some philosophy, some philosopher of days gone by, and Greek culture and so on, to try to find my hope. Thank God it's there. I don't have to go to some Zen or Buddha or Krishna or any of those kinds of things to find strength. I find it in the Word of God and my experience in the Lord and know that He is there. Thank God. And that's what we rely upon and know the blessing of God that is there. The Bible talks about in Joel the day of blessing, a time of blessing that would come forth. Judgment, of course, would be a warning, and oftentimes the judgment came in the form of another nation, and sometimes natural catastrophes, sometimes different things that would cause them to understand, you're not in control. You're not the one who is, you know, calling the shots. You know, I've read some of the answers to atheists and so on of Zacharias and Rabbi Zacharias and how he deals with those things. And a lot of times, atheism is relying on science. The atheistic ideas are based on man's idea that I can control my own destiny. I can direct my own ways. And then the counter to that shows that no, God is the one who is in charge. God is the one who's in control. He's the one you've got to answer to. He's the one you've got to look to. He's got answers for you personally and the work that he can do for you personally. So it goes back and forth, and it's interesting to read it. I can't comprehend a whole lot of it because they're using words that I haven't even seen before way up here, and I'm glad it's on my phone so I can push that word and say, what does that mean? But God is able to step in and make changes to show, no, you don't have all the answers. And this virus is one of them. Now, am I saying that the virus came from God? No. No, but it does show that, no, you don't have all the answers. And you take the drive from here if you go into Soldotna. And instead of all green of the trees, you're going to notice a lot of brown, a lot. Now, here's a what if that we're going to play with. We're in fourth grade again. Fourth graders like to do what ifs. What if that really spreads through evergreen forests and the spruce bark beetle is wreaking devastation? In fact, did you see there was a ship that was turned away, a foreign ship that was coming into port, and they turned that ship away? It was a huge container ship, a lot of goods coming into America. They turned the ship away because they found some invasive species in it. It was a beetle that could kill trees. And so they turned it away. What if there's a devastation of trees? You know, they're real concerned about the logging going on down on the Amazon and so on, and concerned about the balance in the atmosphere and all of this. And we do need to take care of our planet. It's the only one we got. And we got to make sure we're, you know, good stewards. But God could change things just like that. And man does not have the answer. Man does not have the remedy. Man does not have the solution. And there's nothing he could do about it. God can do it. God can make it happen. Yeah, I don't know if you felt the earthquake here the other night. And the strength of it went higher and higher as they were reporting at 8.3, I think it was the last I heard. That's a strong earthquake. What if there, again, here we go with the what if there was more than one in different locations and the strength went up? You know, the 9.4 that we had here in 1964, just devastating, Very devastating. And it went on for more than 3 minutes. And it feels like an eternity when that shaking is taking place. You're wondering if it's going to stop. But, wow, the hand of the Lord can bring forth these aspects so quick. And man has no solution, no answer, no way to remedy it. God, help us to continue to look to the Lord and to call upon Him and to bring others to the recognition of how the Lord could bring a day of blessing, a time of blessing, the former rain, the latter rain. Praise God. And how that there would be the direction that the Lord would provide and how He would lift up and bless in a special way. Thank God for His compassion that fails not. I like how Lamentations chapter 3 brings out this aspect of His compassion. In 31, compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. And in verse 22 of that same chapter, His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Thank God that we can rely upon what the Lord has provided and the blessing that He will leave behind. Thank God. And we can move into that realm of the blessings of God. And twice, I don't know if you noticed it, and you're looking at Joel chapter 2, 26 and 27, twice it says, "My people shall never be ashamed." Praise God. The Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord's going to provide for His church. The Lord's going to minister in ways beyond our understanding, beyond our capacity, and thank God that His power is able to bring forth the results that we know that He is able to provide. So we'll keep calling on His name. Amen. We call on His name in baptism and what power and blessing the Lord is able to reveal. What it's not just getting wet. It's a type of burial. We identify with Him. We're baptized in the name of the one who died for us. Praise God. And we recognize the power of that name for salvation. And the devil has absolutely no way to defeat it. No way to tear it down. No way to dismantle it or disable it. Thank God for the power of that name. Let's keep calling on that name. Let's keep believing that name. Let's keep exalting that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And twice He declares, "I will pour out My Spirit." Amen. Romans 5, you look at how He has shed His Spirit. In the original Greek, it's pour out. When you see shed, and then Paul writes about it also, He is shed abroad, it's pour out. Thank God it continues to be what God pours out. Amen. And we characterize rain in different ways. It's drizzling. It's raining. And then when it's really coming down, what do we say? Ah, it's pouring. Thank God the Lord pours out His Spirit. Amen. And that's continuing to fulfill His word. And thank the Lord. He does a work of restoration to bring us to where we need to be in Him. Amen. And, I'm glad restoration can take place for someone who has wandered, someone who has gone far away. Thank God there's a restoration. But I need restoration. There are times that I get off track just a little bit, you know, thinking, I can take care of this. I can do this. No, I've got to get back where I'm in line with Him. Amen. I'm subjected to Him. He's the one in charge. He's the one in control. He's the one who is king. He's the one on the throne. Praise God. And I get restored to His power and His blessing. But restored seems to be back to the same level. You know, restored, my tank is empty. I've got to restore it. God wants to take us beyond that. God wants to move us into more. That's why I'm going to pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. That goes way beyond our boundaries, way beyond our what we might see as, wow, that's really something. That's great. God wants to do so much more. Amen. Let's let him bring us to that place and the understanding of what he has for us and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Because that restoration is powerful in what the Lord can provide. And I'm thankful that there is deliverance for those that call on the name of the Lord. And I'm going to keep finding it. I'm going to keep working with it. I'm going to keep desiring it. Praise God. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being